Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Joining me today at the Roundtable is musician Eric Salazar. You can find out more about him at ericsalazarclarinet.com. He's a wonderful musician. I've listened to some of the stuff that you have on your website that we can hear snippets of. So I just love what you do. And my first question for you is, when did you know that music was your destiny?
Good question. And there's sort of a two-part answer.
I love a two-part answer.
What got me into music in the first place was actually the cartoon Tom and Jerry.
Okay. I've not heard that before.
There's all kinds of classical music mm-hmm. in the show. And it was one of the ways that my mom could get me to settle down after school was
okay.
turning on Tom and Jerry, because I love that show.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember, I'm pretty sure it was Rhapsody in Blue, which is this classical music piece that's got a famous clarinet solo right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think I remember hearing that, and I just went, oh, I want to do that.
Oh.
And then in general music class, we watched this video of here's what every instrument sounds like. And when I heard the clarinet, I went, oh, that's the Tom and Jerry thing.
connections.
Right. So then when I was old enough to select an instrument for band in sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
I was like, clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even try any other instrument. Mm-hmm. It was just clarinet, because that's the sound I remembered loving.
Yeah, I think that's going to be my favorite answer to this question ever. So. But go ahead.
I love the cartoon, so I figured, why not give it a try? And then I did band for, all throughout middle school and high school. But the moment that I decided, okay, music's going to be my career, was in high school. Which for a classical musician is kind of late in the game, actually.
Really?
My peers started taking lessons when they were like 5 or 6 years
yeah.
old, and they were, they've been on the path for easily a decade longer than me. And I'm nearing my 30s, so I finally caught up, but I was behind for a while. But in high school, I was in a jazz band. I was actually in the lowest tier jazz band at my school. And we did, every year in high school, you do festivals
mm-hmm.
where you go and you play, and there's judges, and they give you a score based on how good you did. But for some reason, I was able to play solos. And I think it was less to do with my skill on the instrument, and more to do with the fact that I wasn't afraid,
right.
I could just stand up and do it.
Right.
So we did this festival at the Purdue Jazz Festival in high school, and I did what I do. I got up and I played my solo, and I didn't think anything else of it, and we got a good score, and it was fun. And then at the end of that year, we were doing sort of one of our finale concerts for all the parents, and my band director, Joe Brabeck, we got done playing, and then he grabbed the mic and he started giving a speech, and I was being a teenager, so I wasn't really paying attention until he mentioned that we got this award. And we got an award that year called the Judge's Choice Award.
Ooh.
And he said something along the lines of, I've been going to this festival for 25 years and I've never heard of this award. But he was like so excited we got it, and he told the whole auditorium, these hundreds of parents, that he thought he got it because of our bass clarinet soloist, Eric Salazar. And so
suddenly you were paying attention. You're like,
right,
what?
That's right. And everyone started clapping. Mm-hmm. And then he gestured for me to like stand up and be recognized. And that was the moment I knew. And at the time, I wasn't thinking, wow, I'm so awesome.
Right.
At the time, I was thinking, holy cow, look at all these people and look at how happy they are.
Yeah.
And all I did was play my instrument.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that for the rest of my life.
That's wonderful. I love that story. That's great. You've already kind of given us a little bit of information about, you know, how your journey started and everything. But I do want to ask you, I always try to find out where people are from and how the places that they've lived might influence their art. And, you know, if they've had any, I don't know. Yeah, I think of being an artist as kind of like riding a roller coaster. You've got your ups and you've got your downs, and sometimes you forget them because they're forgettable, but sometimes they're memorable, both ups and downs. And so I wanted you to talk to the folks a little bit about that, because, and as you do that, I do want to ask you one question, because you said in that where the concert where you guys got that award, you were playing bass clarinet. And I'm assuming you started with regular clarinet and at some point then transitioned into bass clarinet. Is that part of your journey was learning both instruments and, you know, becoming proficient at both. So, but tell us a little bit about, you know, your where you've lived and how that's influenced your music, and any highlights, obstacles, highlights, you know, good or bad. Ups and downs, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so I grew up in Brownsburg, Indiana, which is actually where I live now.
Okay.
So I sort of like left home, traveled around a bit, and came back to my roots. But it's now I would call it a suburban, like it's super suburban. Mm-hmm. But when I was growing up, it was transitioning from a rural mindset to a suburban one. So a lot of my memories of this town are actually just endless cornfields everywhere.
Right.
And there's a couple neighborhoods, but it's mostly cornfields, and we have, you know, the marsh and the movie theater. So it was, you know, growing up was pretty rural. And my grandpa was from Mexico, so I've got that Mexican heritage, which I would say for sure has influenced my interpretation of rhythm.
Definitely, I'm sure, How could it not, right? I mean...
Right, yeah. So it was interesting, you know, growing up in a very rural town and having a Mexican last name, but I got through it okay. I had my brother to look after me, so that was good. But, I did... Like I mentioned, a lot of my peers in the classical music world they've done what I would call the traditional classical musician path, which is where you start lessons at like 6 years old and that's your instrument and you do that. And by the time you're in your late teenage years, you've been studying, you know, vigorously for over a decade. And I kind of did not do that. We just didn't really know that you were supposed to take lessons.
Right.
And I wasn't really serious yet.
It was at school, right? I mean, it might be at school. Yeah.
Yeah. My relationship with music for the most part until that moment I described earlier was, oh, this is just the fun thing I do and I get to hang out with my friends and it's great. But I did end up getting serious about it around the age of 18, which I mentioned is so late in the game for classical music. It's also, coincidentally, one of the reasons that I have, I would say, pretty unique interpretations and pretty unique approaches to creating music, because in my formative years of being a human being, I didn't have someone telling me, this is the way you make music.
Right.
It was all exploration.
Right.
Which, that's sort of one of my traits now as a professional, is I can't say I play everything perfectly, but I can say it's definitely unique what I do.
I love that you have that open-minded approach to even classical music, you know, and what you can do with it. Not that there's anything against being the strict classicist, you know, or the purist, if you will, and,
right.
and taking that more traditional path in your lessons and everything. But I'm self-taught as an artist, a painter, a writer, everything. So, I mean, I love it when people come on the podcast and say, hey, I kind of do it my way. You know, I'm like, yeah. Join us next time at the Roundtable for part two with Eric Salazar, the clarinet guy. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.